Hello and welcome to Historical Hysteria. I am Nicholas Ward, and this episode is brought to you, as always, by your public library. Today, we are going back to the dirty, dark ages. It is sometimes said, if Christianity had not caused the dark ages, we would be 700 years more advanced, and in space by now.
We'd be colonizing space right now if it hadn't been for the dark ages. There was a period of over 800 years where science was heresy and anathema.
Is this true? No, of course it isn't. In fact, not only is it not true, but today many historians argue that the Dark Ages never even existed. So, what is a Dark Age then? In 1883, the American Cyclopedia wrote, quote, "The Dark Ages is a term applied in its widest sense to that period of intellectual depression in the history of Europe, from the establishment of barbarian supremacy in the 5th century to the revival of learning about the beginning of the 15th century." End quote. Do a quick Google, however, and you will find numerous sources claiming the Dark Ages is the 4th to the 11th century, or the 7th to the 11th century, or the 4th to the 15th century, sometimes used interchangeably with the Middle Ages, but not always. The term Dark Age has in modern pop culture sometimes been expanded to mean any period where progress regresses or historical records are lacking, like the Late Bronze Age collapse circa 1000 BCE. But today we are very much talking about the European Dark Ages, and we are going to use its original definition, covering the entirety of the Middle Ages. In recent years, some historians and non-historians have tried to backpedal, reducing the size of the Dark Ages to try and justify its reality. However, in the words of the Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, "The contrast once so fashionable between darkness and the ages of light has no more truth in it than have fancies which underlie attempts at medieval revivalism." So then, what the hell is a Dark Age? Where did the idea come from? Well, the term Dark Ages has been falling from popularity among historians for the last 100 years. Till today, most serious medievalists argue it is at best a misunderstanding and at worst, active propaganda. That Encyclopedia Britannica quote is from 1929, and yet the concept of a Dark Age is still unbelievably popular still to today. It is simply regarded as fact by many people. So, again, what is a Dark Age? Where does it come from? And does it exist? Well, I mean, I've already answered the last one, haven't I? The term Dark Age, to refer to the Middle Ages, is first used in the 14th century by artist Francesco Petrarch. Petrarch was using the term to talk about a perceived lack of development in art and culture. But Petrarch did not invent the term. The idea of a Dark Age was used by theologians, who would often refer to the pre-Christian classical world as a Dark Age due to their lack of Christianity. Over the centuries, this idea of the Middle Ages, or a part of the Middle Ages being a Dark Age, followed by an Enlightened Age, became popular. Today, the Dark Age inherently refers to not just economic, social, cultural, and technological stagnation, but actual regression in terms of technology. This interpretation of the term Dark Ages begins to become popular in European academia between the 17th and the 19th century. The term in English, also in the past, became tied up with the Reformation, with some academics and theologians beginning to apply a broader application of the term as a pejorative against society before the Reformation. The earliest recorded use of the term in English is in 1679 by historian Gilbert Burnet in the History of the Reformation of the Church of England. Quote, "The design of the Reformation was to restore Christianity to what it was at first, and to purge it of those corruptions with which it was overrun in the later and darker ages." But this concept of a Dark Age truly took hold in the public imagination following the publication of one of the most famous history books ever written, Edward Gibbon's The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, published in 1776. The book was one of the first widely available histories of ancient Rome and sparked an intense fascination with the subject. Remember, at this point in history, the concept of the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, and the Renaissance, and even the Age of Enlightenment, do not exist. The concept of a Renaissance doesn't take hold until the 19th century. It is this period when these concepts start to be born. Now, Gibbon's histories were heavily influenced by the age he was writing in, and his history was very critical of the church and religion as major factors in the downfall of the Roman Empire. It is his book which created the common perception of Christianity destroying ancient Rome and taking society backwards. though to be fair, he listed various factors in the decline of the empire. But the public still till today like to latch onto his criticisms of the church. It should go without saying there are many criticisms of his work. Nevertheless, the idea of this ancient, highly evolved empire 1,000 years dead, whose grandeur rivaled even the most opulent of European palaces in the 18th century, was too perfect not to fall in love with. And an equivalence between ancient Rome and the Enlightenment period was born. Except take a guess when the Enlightenment first becomes a concept. That's right, it's 200 years after the Enlightenment. Once this equivalence between Rome and the Enlightenment was born, it is only logical to ask, how have we not developed in 1,000 years? And this idea of a chasm of knowledge bridged by the Renaissance is slowly born. Later, during the 19th century, there is born an idea that there is an age of faith, the Middle Ages, followed by an age of reason, the Renaissance, till today. This furthers this idea of a dark age. Of course, the Renaissance is also kind of a myth, but we'll get into that later. So back to the obvious question, did technology go backwards after the fall of Rome? No. This myth largely seems to arise from a Eurocentric worldview, that Europe was inevitably going to achieve an industrial revolution because of some innate specialness, and therefore the Dark Period, or the Age of Faith, delayed that. And if the Dark Ages were 700 years, then 1, 2, 3, Space Age. Now, can this be disproved? Yes, a child can disprove this, because let's talk about internal developments within Europe. Now, to explore internal developments within Europe during the Middle Ages, we're first going to have to talk about the period which ended the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and the supercilious idea that knowledge disappeared and that ancient texts were only rediscovered or reborn during the Renaissance. Despite the reputation of the Church, much of the pre-Dark Ages literature that survived, survived because of, not despite the Church. While the Church certainly wasn't a beacon of enlightenment during this period, it also wasn't the anti-intellectual boogeyman it is often portrayed as. Take Aristotle. While his works were banned at the University of Paris at the behest of the papacy in the 13th century, the University of Toulouse in the south of France not only kept studying Aristotle's works, but used the ban as an advertising campaign. Come to Toulouse to study the banned books. Many universities, like Oxford in the UK, also kept studying Aristotle. Paris was fairly unique in banning his works. Because many of the Greek philosophers' works were already in Latin in the Middle Ages. The first translation of Aristotle into Latin was in the 4th century CE. Now, many of these books would be lost, and the first major translation post-empire were all the way later in the 6th century CE. Though, to be fair, these translations would have been quite hard to come by for most academics, and widely available Latin translations would only be made in the 12th century, which is still smack dab in the middle of the Middle Ages. Of course, if you had wanted to study these earlier, well, there were archives, and if you spoke ancient Greek or Arabic, virtually all Greek philosophies were perfectly available to you. And the Church wasn't going to stop you, because the Church was far more interested in religious heresy than philosophy. This idea of a distinction in knowledge between the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, the rediscovery of ancient knowledge, immediately falls apart when you realize that the ancient knowledge rediscovered in the Renaissance was widely available before the Renaissance, well before the Renaissance. Many universities maintained fierce independence and were granted wide-ranging freedoms to explore and develop ideas. Now, this wasn't exactly what we would today refer to as academic freedom, but universities were often granted special rights and protections for their works, and universities generally had close relationships with the Catholic Church, as many senior clergy within the Church often studied theology at major universities. Even our modern concept of formalized university education, that is born 300 years before the Renaissance, in the 12th century, with a philosophy called Scholasticism, all under the uncaring gaze of the Catholic Church. The Church as a bulwark of superstition and regression gets worse during the Renaissance. In fact, things such as the Inquisition, witch trials, the suppression of science, and the banning and burning of books are all traits which begin or get worse during the Renaissance. Believe it or not, prior to the 15th century, the Church explicitly disavowed existence of witches. Things start to change with the introduction of the Inquisition in the 13th century during the Cathar heresy and ongoing challenges to the Church's power, when the Church would take a more active role in persecuting innocent people. This would reach its zenith not in the Dark Ages but in the 17th century during the Age of Discovery and the birth of the European Enlightenment. So the Greek philosophers weren't reborn in the Renaissance. The Church didn't really ban that many books during the Dark Ages. Universities were actually pretty free, and critical thought was encouraged, at least within universities. Okay. But what about other developments in Europe? After all, who cares about a bunch of effete aristocrats musing about the nature of the soul? Well, the Middle Ages saw massive developments in architecture, art, shipbuilding, and metallurgy, all manner of things which would have important impacts on European society. The introduction of gunpowder from the East in the 14th century would have been worse than useless without the advanced metallurgy that had developed over the previous six centuries, and far surpassed the equivalent metallurgy of the Romans. Take the blast furnace, a necessary piece of proto-industrial technology which was first used in Europe in the 13th century and is thought to have been spread by a group of Cistercian monks who specialised in metallurgy. Though the Romans may have had their own forms of proto-blast furnaces, they were nowhere near the scale or complexity of the medieval blast furnace. Although, before Europeans get too high on their horses, the blast furnace was invented in China in the 5th century BCE. So following the fall of Rome, Europe entered a period of chaotic geopolitical development that saw the rise of the Catholic Church, and a period of social, technological, medical, scientific, and philosophical growth. And the Renaissance, that thing you've been told your whole life brought knowledge back to Europe, involved massive book burnings, banning Arabic and Hebrew texts, the curbing of academic freedoms, the birth of mass witch trials, and the widespread oppression of learning and science. Pretty much with the exception of the burning of the Second Library of Alexandria, all of the most notorious religious attacks on science, philosophy, and learning happened during the Renaissance. Galileo, Copernicus, Thomas More, Servetus, Bruno, these were all scientists burned or executed during the Renaissance. The most notorious attack on learning during the Middle Ages was the condemnations of 1210-1277 at the University of Paris, and most people have probably never heard of them. There isn't even agreement on the level of the Church's involvement, given they didn't bother trying to have Aristotle's works banned anywhere else. It sure seems like if any era could be called a Dark Age, it should maybe be the Renaissance? I mean, it all kind of raises the massive question, why on earth did the idea of the Dark Ages spread at all? Well, we'll be talking about that next week. Today, we talked about the technological and societal developments in Europe, which disproved the notion of a Dark Age. We touched a little on external developments that touched Europe as well. But next week we will be talking about the nightmare of nationalists, the dreaded outside influences on European development. Ooh. Specifically to do with agriculture, philosophy, and medicine. Thank you for listening today. That is all we have time for. Feedback can be sent to historicalhysteria@gmail.com and check the socials r/historicalhysteria on Reddit and @manichistory on Twitter. But before I leave, let me leave you with this. Of the world's 10 deadliest snakes, 9 are native to Australia. Goodbye.